Michael Van Beek, who's the Director of Education Policy. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
You know, it's interesting, the emails and phone calls we get in regards to what we talk about seem to focus around education more so than any other story. Why do you think that is?
Well, people care a lot about education, and as a state, you know, we spend more on education than on anything else. So I think that's probably, contributing to why so many people care about it.
There is a new school report card, which has produced, from your perspective, apples-to-apples comparison of Michigan public high school performance by adjusting for student family poverty levels. Before you tell us the details about this report, tell us about those adjustments.
Sure. What we did is use a school's free and reduced, the number of students that they have who qualify for a free or reduced price lunch, which is basically a level of, you qualify based on your household income. And we use that to adjust their ACT and MME scores, their state standardized test scores. And that creates more of a level playing field between schools, because we've known for a long time that schools that have a high portion of their students from wealthier families are going to do better on these standardized tests than schools who have a large portion of their students who come from low-income families. So we're trying to, with this report card, take that into account and so create a level playing field, so to speak, for looking at these grades.
All right, what'd you learn?
Well, a lot of interesting things. There's one of the things that we learned was that some of the poor performing school districts in the state, you think of the Detroit, the Flint, even when you take into consideration the amount of low-income students that they have in their schools, they still do, on average, very poorly. But we did find in those areas some schools that were doing really well. The Star International Academy, for instance, in near Detroit in Dearborn Heights, it's a public charter school there. They're the top-ranked school in the state based on our report card. And you wouldn't notice them if you just looked at the regular rankings, because their students score about average, about the state average on most standardized tests. But they serve about 95% of their students are from low-income households. So when you take a student population that's 95% of them are low-income and have them score on state average standardized test scores, that's remarkable. And our report card takes that into account and shows how remarkable that actually is.
Why did they perform so well, Michael? Do we know?
Well, we don't. The next step for me here is to, now that we've identified these high-performing schools, is to go and do research and find out what they are doing. You can look around and see schools that are score high on tests, but, like I said, it might be because they just have a disproportionately large portion of their students who are from wealthy families. So here, we're looking at these schools that are doing well, sort of beating the odds, and we're going to go research and find out what exactly are they doing to take kids, from low-income families who people wouldn't expect them to score a certain level on standardized tests and who are bringing them up and make them do very well.
Michael, can you tell us if charter schools are outperforming public schools in these low-income areas?
Charter schools were in both the top 20 schools, and they were in the bottom. They populated both ends of the spectrum. And on average, they did slightly better than conventional public schools, but not very differently. But they did have the highest performing schools. The top three highest performing schools were all charter schools, and they were schools that have a high portion of students from low-income families. So, I think the story that you learn from this with charter schools is that there are ones that are doing really well, and some that aren't at all. So, you know, we got to try to replicate the ones that are doing well and close the ones that aren't doing well.
I'm not sure if I missed the information, but I was looking for mid-Michigan area schools, the ones who fared well and the ones who have challenges. Do you have that information in front of you?
You know, I don't have all of the information based just on that area, but I certainly could get that to you.
All right. It's interesting, Michael, how you answer one question and it makes more work for you, because now you've found out which schools are doing well, especially in those low-income areas, and now you need to find out why.
That's right, and I should mention, you know, there are several schools. The other thing we found, too, is, you know, even though we're adjusting for income levels of students, there are still plenty of schools that score well unadjusted on, you know, the state report or the state standardized test, and who, even when we adjust for their higher income or the income of their students, even if they have higher income families, they still do well. So there are plenty of schools who have you know, a large portion of their students are from wealthier families who are still doing very well on our report card, even when you take that into consideration.
All right, Michael, two questions left for you. Number one, sure. Is Michigan doing better on the education front during the tenure of Governor Rick Snyder?
Well, I think a lot of that remains to be seen, but he has laid the groundwork for a lot of changes. I think there's going to be a lot more emphasis on performance in the classroom, and right now, you know, it's the debate about how are we going to measure that performance. But we're moving in the right direction there, and certainly the expansion of parental choice. Parents are going to have more options in the future, whether it be online learning, charter schools, or some other form, dual enrollment in community colleges or things like that. And I think the governor is looking at addressing more of those and providing even more options for families in the future.
Does spending more money per pupil give us the result of a more educated pupil?
No, and you know, research has demonstrated this for decades. Just spending more money isn't going to provide us with better performance. We need to spend money well, spend money better, and you know, that will help drive performance.
All right, Michael, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not sure you can answer it, but what's the percentage of the factor for a student doing well in school? How much of it is the teacher, and how much of it is from the push at home?
Well, we know from research that of all of the factors that are within a school, the teacher is the number one most important factor. Okay, so if you were to isolate all of the outside impact, the number one factor that schools can control that impacts student performance is their teacher. So, you know, we need to get excellent teachers in the classrooms, and we have some right now. We need to get more of them. The outside factors, they play a big role, and that's, you know, with our report card, that's what we're trying to take into account here and trying to, you know, look at schools and account for the fact that those factors do play a large role. Is, you know, which one is larger? I think they're both formidable. You know, we need to improve teacher quality in the state and take into account outside influences that affect student performance as well.
Are the colleges in the state of Michigan doing a good job, an adequate job at teaching, at preparing our teachers to work and teach?
Well, the requirements to become a teacher are quite low in the state. We graduate far more teachers from colleges of education every year than what we'll ever need. The teacher certification tests that teachers have to take in order to get certified are quite weak. Over about 90% of teachers pass them just on their first try. So I think we do need to have more rigid standards, and that's what some of the highest performing countries in the world do. People talk a lot about Finland. They have very high standards for becoming a teacher, and they attract and only get really high-performing students to even apply to become teachers.
We've been talking with Michael Van Beek, who's the Director of Education Policy for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Michael, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me tonight.